Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvicker with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to the Nashville Predators being swept out of the playoffs last night against the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado wins 5-3. They complete the sweep, the first time in franchise history the Predators have been swept. So what does it all mean, and where do the Predators go from here? Taking your reaction all show long, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jaden in Hendersonville, who wants to weigh in. Jaden, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So this isn't really a reaction towards last night, but it's been on my mind for a while. And the past few years, I feel like the Preds have been win now. Try and get to the Stanley Cup final. Try to win Stanley Cup. And the thing that bothers me about David Poile is I feel like these past few trade deadlines, it's like he's scared to trade for good players. We're trying to find this young depth, but if we're in a win-now mentality, I mean, where's the good players in the trade deadline? Where's these star players that produce goals, produce offense? And I don't know. It just feels like he's scared to make this team better, but I'll leave it at that.
Thanks for the call, Jaden. You know, it's interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, do you buy that David Poile believes that they're in win-now mode? I mean, he talked about this past offseason, competitive rebuild, competitive transition, whatever term you want to throw out there. I mean, it was obvious last offseason they took a shift in terms of how they viewed this team and the direction of the franchise. They made it a point to get younger, which they did. But, Joe, to your point, you still have Duchesne and Forsberg and Johansson and Josi and Ekholm and Saros and all these different guys who they're not signing up for a rebuild at this point. So how do you think David Poile views the team? Do you buy that he's still in win-now mode?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the moves last summer said no. And remember, you know, Philip Forsberg, his reaction to – in particular, the trade of Victor Arvidsson to the Kings, very upset. And it felt with that and Ellis, that sort of said, yeah, this is a rebuild on some level. Also, hey, would anyone like Matt Duchesne or Ryan Johansson? They're here for the taking.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Seattle. And no, they didn't take him. But that was obviously, if you're in win now mode, granted, I mean, they had very underwhelming. I mean, well, they had bad seasons, especially Duchesne last year. But if you're in win now mode, I guess you don't do that, do you? You protect Tanner, as you know, which got a lot of people, some people in particular, just screaming and yelling. And that turned out to be a shrewd move. That's the funny thing about the Poile discussion, which I think is really what the discussion is. I mean, some people want to go on the Hines thing. Again, to me, it's absolutely outrageous to think about Hines being fired by Poile here.
Well, I agree. Now, that conversation got a little bit more complicated yesterday with Barry Trotz out there. Well, now, I don't think that Barry Trotz – let me just go ahead and say this. I don't think that Barry Trotz is coming back here as the head coach of the Nashville Predators. I could be wrong. If he wants to coach, which, you know, after we got off the air yesterday, Pierre LeBrun put it out there that he's going to take a week and kind of decide what he wants to do, whether that's coaching, whether it's getting into management to some degree. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants to do. And if he wants to coach, he's going to have his pick of the litter of where he wants to be. So is that, could it be back here? I mean, I guess there's a chance that that could happen, but I would be pretty surprised if that happens. So if it's not going to be Trotz, like, I just don't know what other coach you're going out there and grabbing that you feel great about.
Well, if it's not, and you're right, Trotz is, I mean, look, it's an absolutely inane firing by Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders. And it's, we know the history, but not just the history. I mean, Trotz is one of the best coaches in the league right now. He has proved that since leaving here. What I'd love to know is what the price tag on Trotz as a coach now would be versus when he left here 8 years ago, by the way. But take that out of it. You know, Poile is to me, is the discussion. And his job is the discussion. That's what ownership needs to talk about. It's about Poile. Poile should not be able to fire John Hines and keep his job, in my opinion. The interesting thing about Poile is, again, think go back to midseason when the Preds were flirting with being the one seed in the West, beat Colorado in that incredible game. We're playing really well. We all agreed this is the most fun a Preds team has been to watch in a long time. And it was like, wow, David Poile's actually gotten through that rough stuff and has actually got something interesting here. And at that point, if you would have told me the outcomes, like, because how often do we say, well, yeah, but is Duchene going to keep it up? Well, yes, he is. I mean, if you would have told me all those outcomes, I would have thought a much better final result for this team. You know, who knows? Maybe at least hosting a playoff series in the first round. So now I guess people who want this to be about Hines should say, see, it's the coach. They faded, you know, but ultimately it's Poile, his job, and ownership. That's what ownership needs to speak on. And that's what ownership needs to. I mean, I agree with you. I think Poyle's going to be back, but like they need to scrutinize it, right? I mean, and figure out if this is the direction. I mean, Vingan threw out the idea of what, and this is not new, but like the idea of someone else coming in, maybe who has final personnel, say Poile still on his job. You have like a transition to kind of retirement or something like that. You know, I guess that could work. But I'll also say this, the idea, it's just like with anything. If you're just going to go fire, okay, what's your plan?
Yeah.
What is the plan? Like who's out there right now? And I know in a lot of cases it's maybe an up-and-coming assistant GM who's like, that's who you want building your team.
Well, let me tell you this. If I understand, and we've gotten a lot of it today. I've already talked about this. People wanting to move on from David Poile. I think it's way more likely if they did that, they go with somebody that's already in the organization. Maybe Brian Poile. Like, I think there's a chance that could happen. I mean, obviously you got Scott Nichol in-house, you got Jeff Kelty in-house. There's some options there. I think it's way more likely they would go in-house than they would be anywhere else. So how would Preds fans feel about that?
That's the thing. If that's the case, I mean, it's the same blueprint, you know? It's the same plan, basically. It's the same philosophy. So I guess wouldn't you rather have the more experienced person still running that team, you know? And, you know, the thing with Brian Poile, like Brian Poile may be the greatest hockey mind in the world, but his last name with the fan base will hurt him. You know, I guess it's not fair to him, right? But with the way things have gone under David Poile, that's actually, he may be the best choice. He may be the best option there, but he would be the last choice of the fans just because of his last name.
Go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bicycle Boy. Bicycle Boy, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, fellas. I want to go back to the Forsberg thing for a minute, and I got a couple points. I'll try to be quick. First of all, it's not the end of the world if we lose Forsberg, and here's why I think that. I think he's going to test the open market. He's going to see what's out there. If another team that's a contender gives him $8 million, I think he goes, and I haven't looked at other teams to see what their cap situations are, but if we're not paying them $8 or $9 million, that's $8 or $9 million that we've got to go and look at free agents. I'm not sure who, again, I haven't looked at it enough yet to see who the free agents are. I don't know if Goodrow is still going to be out there. Here's the other thing. Forsberg is almost, he's like a microcosm of this entire team. He's good in stretches. He's great in flashes. And then there's other times where he just kind of disappears. And am I right? Is this the first season he's really gone without a serious injury? So there's that to factor in there. But there's my two cents, boys.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I mean, I think first 2 or 3 years Forsberg was here, he played in 82 games. So he's had seasons before where he's not had major injuries. I mean, look, you could make an argument he's never had a major injury because he's never missed, you know, 3 or 4 months at a time or anything like that. So I understand the health being a concern with Forsberg. Like I just, Joe, I've heard this idea floated out there. I think it's an absolute, I just don't see any way this happens. I guess crazier things have happened before, but I've heard the idea thrown out, well, Forsberg's going to go test the market, And if he doesn't like what he sees out there, he's coming back to Nashville a la Mykal Granlund. Like, I just don't buy that. You've had all this time to get this done and get an 8-year deal. If he makes it to the market, you can't get an 8-year deal done anymore. Why would he come back at that point? Like, if he gets to me, if he makes it to free agency, he's not coming back.
Yep, I agree. Because, I mean, the Preds have lost their edge. And now, again, with NHL contracts, remember, whatever it is, that's you're going to get paid. It's guaranteed. So you lose that 8th year, and now another team, and I don't know what he would get, but I would. Is the team going to pay him 9, 10 million? I mean, 11 is just
he's not mind-boggling
to me. 9? I could see 9.
He could get 9.
But again, if he could get 9 at 7, well, he could have gotten 8 at 8 here, and that's another extra $1 million in his pocket. That's the weird thing about this. And you said on the text line to somebody, between the extra year and the no state income tax, that's an advantage that you figured the Preds would have used to get this done, but they didn't.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Mark and Ryan on our phone lines, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And that is going to do it. For the first time in their history, the Predators have been swept in a playoff series. The Avalanche take game number 4 here tonight, 5-3.
Do you feel like, though, that some things eroded in the last, you know, month or so with your game?
In what sense?
Well, I mean, just in terms of the performances. You know, a lot of games where you gave up a lot of goals, you know, probably from April until the end.
Yeah, I think that's something we can look at.
That was John Hines after the game last night. The probing media of Joe Rexroad getting after the coach last night. Actually, that was a fine question. Didn't look like John Hines have had very much interest in going down that road last night after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I got some texts like, "Way to, you know, get after it." I'm like, I was just asking.
It wasn't that complicated of a question.
Well, and I mean, so Gentry asked the first question, which specifically was about the fatigue thing, which, again, I don't know that I necessarily buy that. I think it's a fair thing to bring up. If you play a certain style, you know, does that wear you down more over the course of a year? Again, like I said yesterday, watch this whole tournament. You know, watch this whole tournament and watch the teams that get to the end of it. It's playoff hockey, and it's every other day, just the absolute. And it's why it is the hardest trophy, I believe, to win in sports. The grueling nature of this tournament after 82 games, to me, says that's kind of excuse making. You know, I don't really necessarily buy that. But Hines, so Gentry asked that question, and Hines went to the, you know, kind of like, you guys didn't pick us, but it's like, okay, but what do you think it was? I want to know. And it sounded like Hines' answer to me was sort of like, what are you talking about? But, I mean, their record was not good. They faded from a strong position of playoffs to barely getting in. They blew the 4-0 lead to get this matchup. Granted, the last two, you know, games, they didn't have Saros, but most of those games they did have Saros, and they still were giving up goals left and right. So, they did. I mean, to me, I don't see how you could argue that their play didn't erode in the second half to some extent, but especially from about April 1st on to the end here. So what is it? And then look, understand this. Here's on two sides of this. One is, you got to understand, this is when we have a chance to ask questions, okay?
Yeah.
I know, like, people, like, I heard, like, Darren and Hal last night, you know, and Hal's sort of like, well, what, like, kind of like, what's a coach going to say? Well, that's fine. But I mean, again, we're not, you know, we're going to have a breakdown day, and maybe he'll give more developed answers, you know, heat of the moment, all that stuff. I totally respect that. But this is a press conference. This is when you ask the question. Okay. I mean, that's just so, like, sorry, but that's our job. And again, on the other side of it, hey, after a loss, I don't necessarily expect a coach to say, well, now let me tell you. So on April 4th, what happened? This, you know, I understand. Now some will be a little bit more developed with their answers. John Hines wasn't in a great mood to talk about. So, and again, I understand that. I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Let's go go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark from East Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Mark, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Thank you so much. I actually got to go in for dialysis, so you know I'm an old guy. Here's the story. First of all, I'd like to give props to the two players that I think didn't ashamed themselves, embarrassed themselves, Yakov Trenin and Connor Ingram. Secondly, I'd like to say that next year, I believe that the team will be better just by giving UC Soros that much more rest, having Connor Ingram as the backup as opposed to David Riddick. And I think Poile really miscalculated when he gave Riddick the job hands down and didn't give Ingram the opportunity to compete. And I understand they wanted to get him some time in Milwaukee. Thirdly, I'd like to look to Milwaukee because that team is up 2-0 on their series against Manitoba using their backup goalie, Devin Cooley. And the backup to Cooley is Askarov. So now we have legitimate goaltending competition for the 2, 3, and 4 spots for next season, giving UC Soros an extra night off a week, which is only a good thing. I blame Poile for destroying the defense when he traded Seth Jones, when he traded Shea Weber, when he traded Ryan Ellis, and essentially got, you know, I'm not going to say nothing because Johansson has been a legitimate player at times, but he gave away a guy in Ryan Ellis. Where is Philippe Myers today? He was listed as a scratch, but I believe he's on the Toronto Marley. That just boggles my mind.
Thanks for the call, Mark. We appreciate it. Well, look, there's a lot to sift through there. Number one, where is Ryan Ellis today? He played 4 games this year. He played 4 games this year, and his future in terms of being the player that, you know, he has been here in Nashville is heavily in doubt. Secondly, Joe, I don't have much time for the Seth Jones, Shea Weber discussion here. We've gone through that ad nauseum.
Please.
I mean, Ryan Johansson, the Predators won that trade. First off, Seth Jones didn't even play for the team that they traded him to. And Seth Jones was awful this year in Chicago. Secondly, the PK Subban trade for Shea Weber. Look, you're not going to find anybody that loves Shea Weber more than I do. The results on the ice speak for itself. What happened in, after that with PK Subban and the, you know, the best 3-year period in franchise history here. So look, I agree with what Mark said about the goaltending. I think you feel good about that heading into next year. I think there's some depth there. I do think UC Soros will get more rest next year, but the defense part of this, we can have a discussion about the defensemen because right now I think you can make an argument that Fabreau and Carrier may not be good enough to have top 4 roles. But the Seth Jones, Ryan Ellis part of this, I don't have a whole lot of time for.
I mean, if you want to get mad at Poile, get mad at the Turris trade, which, you know, the Avs continue to benefit from, or Ryan Hartman. I mean, you can even, if you want to go on Fiala, you know, but even though I think that's defensible, they're not in the Stanley Cup final if you don't make those 2 trades. Go back again and watch Ekholm and Subban in that run. I would say, of all the people who were most important in the run to the Stanley Cup final, you know, Pekka Rinne, number one. But I think Ekholm Subban together was right there at the top, along with Ryan Johansson before he got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those 4 in the top 5. Like they had a variety of forwards who had moments Forsberg played well. You know, they had a lot of guys. But I mean, come on. Those are not the things to nitpick. There are things since then. That's where things started to go the wrong way.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Ryan in Hermitage has called in. Ryan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. You said promote Ryan Poile? No, the organization needs new blood. We need new people from outside the market to come GM this team, come coach this team. We don't need to hire from inside. They've gotten too comfortable with the people they have inside this market, and it needs to be changed. Front office needs to go find a GM that's not familiar with this market and bring him in and let him hire his coach of his liking instead of constantly letting Poyle hire his best friends like John Hines or just letting him do what he wants, and he has never done anything to win a championship. I don't care if he's the winningest GM in franchise and NHL history. Doesn't mean nothing unless you have a Stanley Cup to your name. He's been on two teams, and he can't get it done. He didn't get it done either of them. Time for him to move on, and time for him to get some new blood in this organization.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More of that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Dylan in Nashville who wants to weigh in. Dylan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. Just wanted to call in. I heard some discussion on Poyle and had to jump on that soapbox with you guys. Definitely, I feel like it's been an unpopular opinion of mine for several years. Been watching the team since they came to Nashville. And first off, I want to just say I think Poyle deserves a little bit of respect for what he's done with the program over the last 20 years. He's obviously, you know, built it to a spot where, you know, we can be competitive and we do hold a certain postseason pedigree. But I would have to agree with what you guys say. I don't think it's really a personnel issue at the moment, especially not goaltending and defense. We have, you know, arguably too much talent there and not enough on offense. But, you know, to me, when you guys talk about the blueprint of, you know, what Poyle is doing, you know, it's almost begun to feel like insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And personally, I think it all kind of started with the decision to bring Hines on. I mean, it's like Mr. Mediocre hires Mr. Mediocre for a coach. You know, you go with the whole winningest GM, longest standing GM in NHL history. And it's like, what's that all for? You know, if we're not really truly contending for cups. I mean, we did it in, you know, 2017, but when you look at that roster, you know, the teams we were competing against, you know, star studded on offense. And so I just feel like we need to get rid of, you know, all the personnel in the you know, administration, you know, GM, new coach, and really go for some offensive firepower and you know, dare to suck for, you know, maybe a couple of seasons to build a, you know, real championship team. What do you guys think about that? What are your thoughts?
Thanks for the call, Dylan.
Hashtag dare to suck.
Dare to suck.
Get it trending. Get it trending.
Well, look, I hear what he's saying there. Certainly, offensively, when you start to look at the depth of it, you got to find a second line. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, Forsberg had 42 goals this year. Duchesne had 43 goals this year. Roman Josi had 96 points this year. I mean, offensively, with those guys, they're in pretty good shape. Ryan Johansson is pretty good offensively this year. Now, you need more. You need guys like Tolvanen and Cunnan, which were playing in top six roles all year, which were a mistake. That can't happen. Like, you've got to have guys that come in and fill your top six. Joe, I disagree about the defense. Like, obviously, you've got a Norris Trophy finalist and probably the Norris Trophy winner in Roman Josi back on defense. Ekholm, you know what he is at this point, although he is getting older. I have not been impressed with Fabro coming down the stretch. I've not been impressed with Carrier coming down the stretch. And you brought it up with Hines last night. Let's take a look at the last month of the season. They were horrible on defense. They were giving up goals left and right. They gave up 7 twice in this series against Colorado. I understand it's Colorado, and they got all sorts of weaponry offensively. But the defense the last month, month and a half of the season was atrocious. It was not good. And that goes beyond the goaltending. That goes beyond UC Saros. He was in there for a lot of that too. So I don't accept that they're just in a great spot defensively. To me, that's a huge concern moving into this offseason.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of issues, a lot of holes. Quickly on the text line, the callers are dominating the text line today. But April, who is a faithful listener and contributor, you know, I like to get her perspective. Fan for life, honestly, doesn't matter what they do. That's my team, good or bad. She would love to see a change. Firing Poyle, going in-house will be the exact same. And she, April says, yeah, I'd like to trade to Duchesne because someone could take that right now after a good season. Don't foresee him having another year like this. Get out at the right time. Fine with the third and fourth line guys, must find players for the second line. But again, if you trade Duchesne, you know, again, you've now weakened that top six considerably, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I understand the idea. To me,
yeah,
if Forsberg walks, then I think all that stuff's on the table. Again, I threw out Yossi earlier. Again, he'd have to be on board. It would have to be to a team that he would want to go to.
He ain't going anywhere.
You know, so the idea that there's a team that, to me, if you're Roman Yossi and if there was somewhere else that you'd approve, I would think it would have to be a top contender, right? And how would they afford that? So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Duchesne is either, probably. But the problem here is, and in terms of the caller there, you know, what was it? Dare to suck?
Yes.
I mean, if Forsberg leaves, you may not dare to suck or want to suck, but you still may suck.
Yeah, like that. And, you know, we've had some callers bring up free agency. Here's some guys out there. If you lose Philip Forsberg, look, first off, regardless, if you sign Philip Forsberg, you're still going to have some cap space if you're the Predators. Now, they've been a little more hesitant recently to use that cap space. And really, that's never been David Poyle's style, is to use it in free agency. A lot of teams typically overpay on the first day of the free agency. And a lot of times that doesn't work out. But I mean, just looking at free agents, you've got, you know, Johnny Gaudreau, which we've talked about. You've got Nazem Kadri, who's scheduled to become a free agent, who you just got a firsthand look at in this series. He's 31 at this point. Other than that, I mean, there's not a ton of high-level guys out there. I mean, you know, Max Domi is a free agent. Claude Giroux is a free agent. He's getting older. Phil Kessel, I mean, he'll be 35 next year. There's not a ton of great options out there that are going to come in and boost you that way. Now, maybe it is – maybe you can get a veteran guy like a Phil Kessel on the cheap in free agency, but, you know, if it's not Philip Forsberg, you're either going really all in on Johnny Gaudreau or there's going to be a massive hole in your lineup. Like, it's basically how you have to look at it if you're a Preds fan right now.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be just the second line. I mean, you're talking about do you have a line that you can put together? You know, I mean, you can put Johansson with Duchesne and move, you know, Gino around. By the way, with the lines last night, we really talked about the game specifically too much, but the lines before the game had people freaking out. And I must say, I was looking at him like, wow, he's just trying all kinds of stuff. But the herd line was together last night for the most part, the entire game. And they looked like vintage herd line last night, by the way.
Trennan was awesome. And yes. Trennan was really, from game two on, Trennan was pretty darn good in this series.
I thought Sisson's really good last night too, though. Yeah. I mean, he made some play. I mean, so, and look, you like that. You like that moving forward for sure. But I mean, you take Forsberg out of this lineup, like you said. I guess if you get Johnny Gaudreau, is that feasible? Would Johnny Gaudreau be interested in coming here?
I don't know.
I mean, another thing about luring guys is they want to go to places where they could compete for a Stanley Cup.
So they want to get paid, and, you know,
yes,
people view it differently, but they want to play where they feel like they could win championships.
And I feel like a team that loses Forsberg, you know, the Preds made a big deal and they said it again last night a few times. You guys, no one picked us, all that stuff. Okay. Well, that's true. You defied the expectations barely in the end. You did. But next year, you want to see people not picking you to make the playoffs? I mean, without Forsberg, again, without knowing corresponding moves, Gaudreau is the only reaction move to that I could see where it looks like a playoff team on paper if they lose Forsberg. So if that's the case, What's the plan?
We were going to go to Aaron on the text line, but apparently Aaron has just hung up. So going back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Michael in Clarksville texting in says, so how is everyone that wants to suck going to feel if the Preds turn into a team like the Coyotes or Buffalo for the next 10 years or more? Joe, that's what we've talked about. Like the idea of tanking or, you know, taking a step back to take a step forward sounds great until you can't get out of the step back that you've taken. And we've seen that happen. I mean, Detroit's in that right now. Chicago's in that right now. Buffalo's been in that for, it feels like, my entire lifetime. Arizona's in that. I mean, it's not always as easy as, all right, well, we're just going to be bad for 2 years and then we're going to come out of it on the other side. Sometimes you get stuck. And I know the answer to Michael's question there. Not going to feel great if you turn into a team like Buffalo or the Coyotes. Now, we've seen it work the other way too, where you're bad for a little bit. You know, Tampa did this a few years ago. They were bad for a little bit, a couple of years, and then all of a sudden they were not bad anymore, and now they've been a consistent Stanley Cup contender for the last decade for the most part. It can happen that way, but sometimes it does not have the desired effect.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get the right core of top-line players, you know, then you can look. I mean, look at the Penguins right now. Who's been better than Crosby in these playoffs, you know? It's ridiculous. So if you can get that guy, great. You get McKinnon, great. But the Buffalo got Jack Eichel. What'd that do for him? You know, for the most part, like it's hard. It's just hard to time it up, you know? So now that doesn't mean that you don't go through rebuilds. I mean, you do, you have to. The Preds, go back to, you know, you were here when the Preds missed the playoffs 2 years in a row and Barry Trotz got fired and they had some young guys. I mean, obviously the Forsberg deal ended up manifesting itself. You had, you know, Arvidsson is found. I mean, they turned into a really good team. They weren't just a fluky Stanley Cup final run team. They were a President's Trophy team the next year. So you can have rebuilds and they got right to the playoffs in 15 and gave the Blackhawks a run, right? That's the idea. Except that then you just want those top players to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
A little bit higher level of top player. Because that's what the Preds are. They've got some top players. And other than Yossi, they're very good, but they're not what we just saw with the team that just swept them, for example.
Yeah, there's no Nathan McKinnon running around out there. And that's sometime is the difference. I mean, you've got
no Cale Makar.
Yeah, no Cale Makar running around out there either. So it's... Well, I mean, there is Roman Yossi, so I guess there's a little bit of Cale Makar, but
fair. But he's also, there's a difference in age there too, you know. I mean,
big time.
And I think Makar, we'll see. But you know, over the years, he is different.
He is a different hockey player, no question about it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of your reaction up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Puck is brought in. Polk checked away. Here come the Predators up from their line. Duchesne, a glove has been lost. Fed to Yossi. That shot stopped. Battle for the rebound. Picked up by Colorado. Sit down from the empty net. McKinnon scores. And the Avs take a two-goal lead with just under 56 seconds left.
How frustrating to be swept, first time that's happened in franchise history?
Well, it's certainly disappointing for sure. I mean, you know, you come in and you work 82 games to be able to get in the playoffs, and, you know, unfortunately this series didn't go the way that, you know, we wanted it to go, and the fact that we weren't able to win a game is something that, you know, we all take personal for sure.
That was John Hines after the game last night. The Preds fall 5-3 to the Colorado Avalanche, swept for the first time in franchise history. Taking your thoughts all show long on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:05 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Joe Rexford, you can go ahead and put the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp in the Hall of Fame for me.
Oh, yes. Me too, Rob.
That's outstanding. Almost as good as the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs. Now, listen.
I'm listening.
I'm going to talk for a few seconds now. We've been talking today about the Nashville Predators. It's been a good show, a lot of participation from the listeners. We're going to continue to talk about that, I think, the rest of the show. That's the hot topic today. Now, yes. I want to ask you both, Robbie and Michelle. I just talked for a few seconds in a row. Did I smack my lips at all?
I don't think so, but there's somebody all over you on the text line about it.
Listen, you didn't.
I think I'm just being trolled. But. Am I just being trolled? But I do smack my lips sometimes.
You do sometimes.
I don't know.
Like when you send me those FanDuel spots, that's when I can hear it. And don't you worry, Joe. I got your back. I edit those out for you. But
that's gross.
I don't really actually hear it when you're just speaking normal like now.
Man. Okay.
But maybe Robbie and I are used to it.
Should I not like hydrate then? Should I just not just get all the saliva out of my mouth?
Yeah, go no coffee, Joe. Go no coffee.
Yeah. Need a coffee edible.
Oh boy. All righty.
Yeah. They make those?
I don't know. Taking your thoughts on our text slide driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So John, I keep trying to answer this question in my head, because it's a difficult one, and we've had different opinions on it today. How close are the Predators, right? Obviously, Philip Forsberg, his contract situation has a lot to do with that. You know, we had a texter earlier that said, you know, if Saros doesn't get hurt, you're playing against Calgary. Everybody's freaking out. Stop freaking out. Saros got hurt. What did you expect? And I understand that. Like, I do believe if Saros doesn't get hurt against Calgary in that game, number one, you hold on to win that game, and you're not getting beat with, you know, a tenth of a second left. You're not, I mean, you're probably not blowing the lead to Arizona either at that point. Now, at that point, you had just beaten Colorado the night before. Saros probably gets that game rather than David Rittich. And I doubt very seriously Saros is playing the next night against Arizona, although I guess he could have been. But if all they needed was one point. If you hold on to that game against Calgary where he got hurt, you're playing against Calgary in the first round. So what do you make of the idea of, maybe Predators fans are overreacting today and UC Saros got hurt? And if he doesn't, maybe it's a different story heading into this playoffs with a different opponent as well.
Yeah, look, I think that it could have been a better series. I thought that this was worst case scenario getting the Avs. So I think it could have been a better series, but I still don't think the Preds would have. I don't think the Preds would have won against the Flames with Saros in goal. I think it could have been a, remember last year they took a very good Carolina team six games, they had it 2-2. So I think usually in the playoffs you expect some level of competitiveness, right? Like we talked about earlier in the show, every single other one of these series but one is 2-2. So you got six 2-2 series, you got a sweep, and then you got, and I'm not convinced that the Rangers are done even down 3-1 to the Penguins. We'll see, but usually playoff series are competitive. So, yeah, I think it would have been more competitive. But the Preds were, bottom line, fading in the second half of the season, then pretty seriously fading from April on. And that put them in the position of basically having to choose between one of those two teams while trying to fend off Vegas and stay ahead of Dallas. And they were completely out of the discussion to, you know, to finish second in the division, which they were totally in as of March. As of March, they were still absolutely in play to host a playoff series, right? And yep. Then it comes down to the end of you barely get in. So it's not just, Saros got hurt, no big deal. There was they've absolutely declined and faded this season. And they were, overall, I would agree, I would still say this is the most fun team to watch in 4 years, but they were not nearly as fun late.
Well, no, and I keep going back to the defense. Like everybody keeps talking about, you know, Saros being hurt, and I understand that, and talking about wanting to find more offensive firepower. And trust me, I know they need a second line. They've been searching for a second line around here for a long time, but the defense was the most concerning part to me. They forgot how to defend, and it wasn't just Colorado. It was everybody coming down the stretch. They had one game in the final 2 weeks of the regular season where they gave up less than three goals. One. It was against Calgary, and they won that game 3-2. And forget three goals, one game where they gave up less than four in the last couple of weeks of the regular season. And Saros was in net for a lot of that. So the defense to me is a big problem. And it's not just the defensemen. You know, we've talked a lot about Fabro and Carrier. I was not overly impressed with Jeremy Lozon. I mean, I said it at the time, giving up a second round pick for that guy just blows my mind. I don't understand it. And he is a replacement level player. And you gave up a second round pick for that guy. I don't get it. It's a bad move. And, you know, could you have used that second round pick to go get somebody to help your top six? Maybe. I don't know what was out there. I don't know what was available. I don't know what the price tag was for some of these guys. I mean, they were rumored to be in on Phil Kessel. I don't know. I have no clue what those conversations were like. But Jeremy Lozon, he was fine at times, but he wasn't worth a second round pick. Like, the defense to me is a big concern moving forward, because Dante Fabro, he shows flashes where he looks good, and then he gets pushed around, and then he shows flashes where he's just totally out of position. Like, I feel great about Yossi, obviously. I still, you know, a lot of people are yelling about Ekholm this year. I think Ekholm was fine for the most part. I just don't know moving forward if Dante Fabro and Alex Carrier are top four defensemen.
Well, I feel better about Carrier than Fabro right now.
I would agree.
And I felt also, by the way, I felt better about Carrier a year ago than I do now about him. But I feel better about him than Fabro. And I thought last night, again, there were just some moments you just can't have if you're a top four defenseman. And I understand the level of competition, but I feel like, you know, I feel like Fabro is going to be hard pressed to live up to his, you know, his draft status. You mentioned the second round pick, and that's what Roman Yossi was. Those can be incredibly valuable. And again, credit David Poile for making that pick in the second round. But how was Jeremy Lozon worthy of a second round pick? Questioned it the day it happened. Haven't seen anything to change my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it just kind of leaves you scratching your head. And I understand he's under team control, and they're going to try to, you know, sign him to a longer-term contract here. But to me, like, does it really make a huge difference one way or the other if Jeremy Lozon's in your lineup or not? I would say no, it does not.
I mean, it's if he's going to be a top four guy for you here for multiple years, fine. But is he that good? I haven't seen anything to suggest he is.
If he's going to be a top four guy, you're in trouble. Let me put it that way. I mean, look, guys can get better. We talk about this on the show all the time. You are allowed to actually improve when you're in the National Hockey League or the National Football League or whatever pro sport you want to throw out there. So I'm not saying that he can't get better, but based on what I saw, he's not a top four defenseman. I don't get it. So that's another move you can add to the list of one that just kind of leaves you scratching your head. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the Preds throughout the show today. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Where do the Preds go from here? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.